everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I'm so excited to be here to talk with one of our returning Hall stars who's been on our show before. And we really enjoyed talking to Sandy in 2018. Can you believe it's been that long?
Oh my gosh. It actually feels like it was just a couple months ago.
No, it does.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back. It's so great.
Yeah. We're talking to Sandy Sadu, and so you've had a pretty crazy 2019, it seems.
Yeah. It's a year I definitely cannot complain about. I, actually today being New Year's Eve, and talking with you guys today, it's kind of allowed me to really reflect full circle from the start of the year to now. And I mean, it's actually been, I'm actually a little like, ooh, I have no expectation of 2020 being as good as 2019 was to me. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, what's your New Year's resolution? I'm like, riding the wave.
Yeah. Because 2019
is so good. I have nothing to like, be like, I need more, you know?
Yeah. It's so, like not holding my breath too long.
And it's just riding the wave. Cause I'm mm-hmm. so grateful for what 2019 offered me. It was pretty spectacular and really unexpected. So, you know, I feel a little wrong for being like more.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like ride the wave, see what happens and just enjoy it. That's kind of my goal for 2020 is to stay present and try to soak it all up.
Yeah. I think the secret was you watching Bahubali and Bahubali 2.
And then that
inspired you.
That movie is amazing.
Yes.
So last time we spoke on the podcast, you had actually, we were talking Bollywood and you actually mentioned, I always butcher the name Bahubali, even though I'm Punjabi, I still can't even say that. It's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
But, that the story, I remember you telling me, oh, you should watch the movie because of the story. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. The story is amazing.
Right.
And, like, so dramatic and true Bollywood style and fashion, but in the best way possible. Yeah. It was so good. You've got great taste in movies. That movie is fantastic.
It's on Netflix, or at least it was. I think it's still on Netflix. Yeah.
It is. So, it is in Canada. It's such a good movie.
So you guys need to all watch it.
The acting's incredible. the cinematography, the set design, the costumes, the story. It's a really, really beautiful film. So thank you for introducing it to me.
Yeah, I think it brought good mojo into your
life.
Life.
Thank you, movie. Changed my life.
Yeah, it's really over the top, but in such a satisfying way.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like the spectacle entertainment that we have, it feels so calculated and feels so like boardroom, you know, they're sitting there making the decisions, and which can make for a good movie. I really enjoyed most of the Marvel movies and things like that. It can be good, but there was just something so energetic and creative about those movies that really inspired me. And
still super entertaining. So, I really do feel a shift in a movement back to more original films. I'm starting to sense that with a lot of the new releases and the teasers coming out. Like the writing is starting to kind of go back to a highly imaginative stage. But, you know, to not knock the Marvel films, because I think the really important thing about the Marvel franchises and all those movies is it did keep people in the theaters. Like, it's still the number one reason people go see a movie these days. And there has been a decline in presence of moviegoers to actual theaters. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful to the Marvel franchises for, you know, keeping bums in the seats, because I think the theater experience, I'm going to be one of those snobs where, you know, theater for like antiques, and I'm gonna be like, you still have to go to the theaters, because I think the landscape is changing. I think people want media and a different kind of content. I think there is definitely a potential for migration to home viewing more than ever. But I think there always will be a place in a city to go see a movie, and I find that very romantic, and I do appreciate franchises that keep people going to the theaters.
Oh, I mean, I love the MCU. There's a few, I mean, there's some that have been better than others, but I don't think, personally, I don't think they've made like a real turkey film. I don't think any of their movies.
And you know, the moral, what I love about the Marvel franchise is the moral integrity and compass of those films. They really do always kind of tackle, who are you? What are your fears? Yeah. What do you need to overcome? And we all have that.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they're so popular, because it really does ignite a moral compass within yourself and kind of helps you remind yourself of like, oh yeah, I'm scared of something too. And look at this hero, you know, battling it away and,
yeah,
and saving the day. It's always a story we can cheer for, which is why.
It's true. They're very simple stories as far as heroes and villains, which I appreciate. And exactly. They do such a good job with casting. I think that helps a lot.
It's so true. That's a very good point.
Yeah. There have been very few miscastings in the MCU. And so that helps a lot, because if you're going to root for a hero, you need to be able to, they need to have charisma, they need to,
you know,
so, yeah. And I mean, they've just had a really great streak with, you know, Black Panther being so great. And
I love Black Panther.
Yeah.
So good. Oh my God. Black Panther kind of showed that you can take minorities into a leading people say, oh, it's, you know, it's following the cliche formula, and to me I'm saying, yeah, that's the point though. Mm-hmm. You take a blockbuster formula like the other Marvel films, mm-hmm. you put minorities that typically aren't recognized mm-hmm. in those leading roles, and you still have an equal, if not more, box office success. So it's kind of annihilating the preconceived notion that certain types of faces need to be visible to create money. And it's kind of offering a reminder of, you know, we all deserve it, you know, and we want to move towards an arena, hopefully in film and entertainment, where one day it'll be like, what's diversity? What's, you know, what's a minority and a majority? It's just the best person for the job. Let's break the pendulum of needing to correct. That's kind of my hope for the industry, is like, it, the future generations are like, oh my God, you had to fight for these roles. That's the kind of conversation I hope to see one day.
Well, and people just want to see good movies.
Exactly.
And Black Panther was a good movie. I think it actually had something really important to say, because it was about more than just, in this case, more than just a hero and villain, because Killmonger, he had a, not to get too deep into Black Panther, but like he had,
you know,
he had a really clear motivation for he wasn't just a bland villain. He wanted to Wakanda to come out and to help these people that he had seen suffering, and he saw that as kind of shameful that T'Challa and all of them had hidden behind this wall, and that makes sense. That's a valid point of view. So it makes it interesting. And
it was very grounded, the storytelling. And I think the actors, just every single actor in that film, their performance really took my breath away. It was such an emotionally charged and entertaining film. And it made me very excited about just the direction that the industry is going, which is, you know, let's see everybody. We're all equal. We're all more alike than we are different. You know, we all have the same emotional struggles on a day-to-day basis. No one is immune to that. And I think that that is the power of art. That is the power of storytelling. That is the power of film and TV. I think that's what really draws me to the profession as an actress is we get to connect people with each other. And hopefully, if we're doing our jobs right, and if the storytelling lends itself the opportunity, then what we're saying is we're all more alike. We're all connected. It's the answer really for me in the end is love. Mm-hmm. Universal, unconditional love for the planet, for each other, because we're all here for a short period of time. And I think we share lessons through stories, and I think that's why movies will never go away, or books, or art. You know, art is such an integral part of society, and I feel very lucky to be an entertainer.
Hi everybody, I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah. I have on my Twitter, my pin is from The Wizard of Oz. A heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others. And that's from the Tin Man. I think that that's
true. Oh my
really
God,
true.
I love the Tin Man. I love that movie. What a beautiful quote. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. I actually wholeheartedly believe that as well. I think you know, the spiritual aspect of life is to be of service to others. Mm-hmm. I think it really, when I'm at my best, because, you know, we're all human, we all have our days, but when I'm at my best, I really feel like I am of service to the people around me, because then I'm looking after the people around me in my own life, you know, the community when I go outside, to have care and consideration for others. I think that's, you know, what I kind of aim for.
Yeah. If you think about the whole story in Christmas Carol, like, the problem with Scrooge is not that he's a rich man. It's that he's shut out the world. Mm-hmm. And he has stopped serving. He stopped loving the people around him. And as soon as that's the only change, it's not like he's not rich anymore.
That's the perfect example of what we're talking about. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, speaking of superheroes, so you were on Legends of Tomorrow. That must have been fun.
Oh yeah, it's such a great show to be a part of. I had a small role recurring on that, but it was really funny. It kind of like, the show kind of like made it for me in a way. So I actually, a little bit of info on that people don't know is, I can't even remember. I'm so bad with timelines. Honestly, I have the worst brain in the world. I have such bad memory. But I was contacted by the show because I wanted to find at first a body double for Tala. And I had had a break between filming. I think I had just cut off Hallmark film. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, they're looking for an actress in the city who could double for her, and you look very similar to her in terms of, like, you know, that they just felt we did. And they're like, would you mind coming in for the day as an actor but just doubling? I was like, yeah, no problem. So I did, and I met Tala, hit it off with her, had a great day with her. Oh my God, just fell in love with her. She was just this like bright little beacon of light. And then a few months later, I got an email saying, Tala requested you to play her mom in a flashback. Would you be interested? And I was like, are you serious? Could I love this woman anymore? Yeah, if she wants me to, because we really hit it off that day. We just had such amazing conversations. And then that ended up turning into 3 episodes. And there was an opportunity for more, but there was just a bit of, the story didn't end up going that way. But and the show, every time I walk on set and see them, I give them all a big hug. And I say, like, it's just, I will say yes to Legends of Tomorrow anytime they want me. Mm-hmm. They're such a nice show. Such a nice, like, working with Tala is always incredible. And I feel like it was just a little gift that kept on giving to me. Mm-hmm. It was just kind of like, the show was like, we really like you. We want to bring you back. I'm like, okay, yeah, I really like you guys too. I want to come back. So, it was nice to kind of, I don't have a big part of that show, but I didn't mind coming in, and I'll always say yes to those guys.
That's cool. I've heard good things about all those CW shows that film up there in Vancouver. Yeah. It seems like people have a really good experience.
Oh, Legends of Tomorrow is amazing. Like, even their wardrobe department, I walk in and the people behind the wardrobe department, even them, when I see them before I go fit for an episode, they have the most incredible energy. And I tell them they actually have one of the best fitting rooms in Vancouver, because they just made it so homey and so cozy. It's just there's some kind of positive energy with the crew on that show that's very, very special. And I always tell them whenever I go on set.
Yeah,
it's always such a delight to work with them.
That's cool. Yeah, we had Donna Benedicto on
I'm friends with her, actually.
You know her? She's the best. She was such a fun interview, and she particularly was
talking. She got me boxing, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah, she
talked in the same studio.
Told us all about the craft services and catering
at
the
different Donna and her Instagram stories with catering. She could literally put a book together on craft services and food in the film industry. Her videos are so adorable.
Yeah, we were dying laughing. She was so fun.
She's
was
awesome.
The Supergirl. She told us about the Supergirl craft services.
Of course she did. Of course she got in a podcast and started talking about food. I love you.
It was our favorite. It was so funny. They're like, ooh, those CW shows, they have the good catering.
Yeah. Oh my God. Donna, she's so awesome.
Yeah. She's so funny. So you were in Meagle All the Way this last Christmas, and we were so excited about it because not only were you in the movie, but it had so many of our favorites with Jen Lilly, who we love, and Lindsay Wagner, who's the best.
Oh my God, Lindsay Wagner is an amazing human being.
And then you were also paired up with Casey Manderson, which was really, we love Casey Manderson.
Oh, Casey is such a class act. He is so great to work with. I wish him nothing but success and the best. He's just one of those people that you're like, I am so glad I know you. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's Casey for you. And everyone was so great on that film. And I had so much fun with Jen. She's such a riot. And I'm pretty sure Lindsay Wagner gave me like some sage spiritual life advice. She's just one of those people. Actually, she did. I'm not going to go into the conversation, but we actually did have a sit down and she gave me this incredible advice and my eyes widened and my mouth dropped open. And I looked at her and I'm pretty sure I said something along the lines of like, I love you. she's a very special person.
Yeah. She was at Fan X here in Utah this last, September, and her and Lee Majors were there. And she seemed that way, that
she's
so like thoughtful and very meditative, just seemed like a really cool person.
Oh, she's absolutely incredible. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you must have had a lot of laughs in that set.
Always. With that cast. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We had a lot of fun filming that movie. Uh-huh. I mean, if you're next to Jen all day, you're going to laugh. And our director, Alan Harmon, he's a local director in town. And his son is actually Richard Harmon, and his daughter is Jessica Harmon, who are pretty big actors in the film industry in Vancouver. It's a really amazing film family. And Alan is just, he's got dry wit and humor like you wouldn't believe. You know, he'll just walk past you and he'll just throw in a line so casually. And you're like, did he just say that? And you're just, it switches. And he won't even wait for the reaction. He's already gone. Like, he's just incredible. Mm-hmm. He was so cool. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, that cast was like they were gathered.
Brand, from, yeah, the Daugherty, nicest guy.
I would love to interview him.
Oh, Brand. Oh, he's a legend. I had very few scenes with him, but we were kind of like always on set. So I got to kind of get to know him, and oh man, like talk about a class act. Just like Casey, Brand is such a good guy. And at that time, he was just so excited to talk about his fiance and his life. And he's so family oriented and he's so positive. Like, he's just such a great guy. And everyone in that film was really amazing, I have to say.
Yeah, because it was like they pulled from Hallmarkies podcast, because we've interviewed Preston Vandersleith, who we love. Ava Grace Cooper has been on our show.
Oh, Ava!
Rebecca Staub has been on our show.
On Nurses. And I was like, oh, Ava, you're the best.
She is? She's going to be on Nurses?
No, she just congratulated me yesterday. And we just had a little like, oh, thank you. Like, we just talked.
That's cute. She's a really cute little girl. Very talented. And and Rebecca Staub, she was on Mingle All the Way, and she came and did an interview, and it was amazing.
Yeah,
she is such a good storyteller.
Oh, right on.
Because some people, you know, it's like, you kind of have to drag it out of them, which is fine, you know, and get them going.
Some people are really more comfortable being actors than they are doing interviews. Like I know for me, interviews always make me really uncomfortable, but then I'm like, just be yourself. I'm not surprised to hear that.
Well, but some people, it's just you kind of just get them going and they go and they tell these amazing stories. And she was totally one of those people. Like she had such, she was great. And then we've had Jen and Lily on twice. We've had Casey Anderson on. We've had you on. So it's just a really fun group.
Yeah, it is. And it really is. Yeah. We had a really great time.
Did you get to see Brant Daughtry's Christmas movie this year?
No, it's been such a busy year for me. I actually have a lot of catching up to do.
I highly recommend it. It was called A Christmas Movie Christmas. And
I'm sure anything with him in it is going to be great.
Him and his wife are both in it, and they both wrote it.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
I know.
See, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
See, I actually did not know that, and I'm so not surprised to hear that. Oh. I'm so happy for them. That's honestly wonderful.
Yeah, it was so funny. It's about these two sisters who end up inside a TV Christmas movie. Christmas movie, and one of them's kind of cynical, and one of them is, you know, super loves these kind of movies. And it was it was really funny. It was very creative, they kind of good naturedly poke fun at the genre and. It was
cute. I mean, Hallmark does that from time to time in a jestful way, which is really cute.
Yeah. So I'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're good folks over at Care Of. And right now you can get 50% off your first order at Care Of. Go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50. And what Care Of does, it's a really great thing, especially for this time of the year where everybody is making resolutions, everyone's trying to be healthier. And what they do is they provide vitamins, protein powders, and other products that come straight to your door. So it's easy. And it's really customized. You can go in, you can take a quiz, and the quiz will help you to figure out what is most important for you, whether it's something to help your fitness routine, whether it's something to help your sleeping, your stress, whatever it might be. And it was very helpful. I got the chance to do the quiz, and I've had two different packages from Care Of, and I've really found it helpful. They have a great attention to detail, where everything has your name on it. Everything is really, they really try to make it custom for you. And it's just been very helpful. And I found myself doing much better in taking my vitamins, than I was before. And also it's not just some multi-use vitamin. It's more catered to my needs, my taste, what my lifestyle, my skepticism level as far as vitamins, all that is taken into account, which I think is really important. They also have a very high focus on quality. They have science and research that goes into all their products. Their protein powders, which are some of the best. They have real ingredients like organic cocoa and pink Himalayan sea salt. So right now you get 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50. So you are going to be, and the reason why we wanted to have you on the show now is that you are starting a very exciting new series. And I've seen some of the trailers and different things that you posted. It called Nurses. And this is super exciting. How did you end up getting the role? And I'm excited for you to tell us all about it.
Oh yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for reaching out and to wanting to talk about it. It's something, you know, Nurses is one of those projects where I am actually so excited to promote it. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not excited about projects in the past, but this one has definitely changed my life. And the role of Nazneen, the character that they allowed me the privilege to play, it was a dream job. It was the kind of role that I've been waiting my whole career for, is how I feel. Playing Nazneen, she is such a layered, grounded, funny, brave, authentic character that I honestly can't believe I got to play. I'm still pinching myself. The writing, the journey that they took her on for season one, I actually cried with our creator and showrunner, Adam Peddle, at the end, and thanked him and his writing team for giving me the kind of content that I had been waiting my kind of whole life to play. And every role up until then has always been a gift. It's not to detract from any of the previous roles that I was very lucky to be a part of and to play, but this was just one of those roles where I, at the end of it, at the end of season one, I went, oh my God, I got to do that. Yeah. I got to play that. So Nurses I'll describe the show. It's a new 10 episode, 1 hour character driven medical drama featuring a Canadian ensemble cast. So go Canada. I'm really proud of it. It's set in Toronto. Yeah. So it's really cool. It's authentically Canadian. It's really a coming of age series following five rookie nurses, pardon me, who are fresh out of school, and they're working the front lines of a busy downtown Toronto hospital. And they've dedicated their lives to helping others, but you know, this is drama, it's TV. And they're really struggling to help themselves, which I think is quite true for anyone who is new on a career path that they're really excited about. There's always learning curves along the way, especially when you're first stepping foot, and the audience really gets to take that journey with us. They're invited into our world on day one, on the first day of them being nurses, which is so exciting. And I think it's a really, really amazing perspective to enter the show from. So I'm really glad that they did that. And so, you know, it's throughout the show, you're witnessing their interaction with patients, with their own relatives, between each other. And it quickly leads them to discovering that nursing is not, of course, about just biology and chemistry and anatomy, but it's also about psychology, compassion, and of course, it's a show, so romantic complications. Mm-hmm. So my character, Naz, when you meet her, Nazneen is a whip-smart daughter from a wealthy family in India who moves to Canada to reinvent herself, and she is starting her first job ever, like ever. And the reason as to why she moved to Canada and why this is her first job and her journey is going to be unveiled as the season progresses. Mm. And yeah, that was actually the most exciting part about playing this character, is she's really someone who's looking to rediscover who she is authentically in this new environment. And as an audience, you're witness to the shifts and changes that occur as she tries to adjust herself to this new life that she chose. So, you know, she's in a free fall of letting go of preconceived notions of herself. And, you know, my comparison to Nazneen would be when I first moved to LA, I had, you know, I didn't know a single person in the city. And so I felt like I had a fresh canvas, a fresh slate. No one knew me when I literally knew, like, I actually didn't know anybody when I first moved to LA. Mm-hmm. So I got to kind of redefine myself through my relationships, because no one had any past or history on me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anyone, you know, if you go to university, that happens to people when they're in high school and they have these preconceived ideas of who they think they are. And then they're in university and then they're like, wait, I get to actually choose who I am right now, because no one knows who I am. That's Nazneen's journey, where she's in a new environment and she really gets that fresh slate. And, you know, because she comes from a wealthy family and because this is her first job ever, it's a bit comedic, it's a bit funny, but it's also very, very emotional and very authentic. And the people keep asking, why? Why does she come from India? And I'm like, that's a great question. You're going to find out. So yeah, that's kind of my character in a second show. It was such a dream. Oh my God, it was such a dream. Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Like, we were all like, oh, look, it's so exciting. So you had to do a little bit of an accent, it seems like, from the clips I've seen.
Yeah, we had a discussion about that before the show began, and I really felt strongly about maintaining an accent, because my mom is actually an immigrant from India who became a nurse, FYI. I can't believe it. So you can imagine, this is kind of part of why this was a dream job for me.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
I get to play a character who's an immigrant to Canada.
Yeah.
That is literally my mom's story. And Nazneen, really, of course, cool. Is her own. Oh my gosh, you have no idea. It was so emotional for me. I was like, I said to the show, I was like, I promise you, I will pour my heart into this. This really means a lot that you guys gave me the green light. And to, you know, I can't thank Global and the producers of Nurses and our showrunner, Adam Peddle, and the writing team for saying yes to me and saying, yeah, why don't you give Nazneen a go? I'm just like, yeah. Oh my God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They're the first, it's my first series regular. So
yeah.
I'm very thankful to this network and this show for having faith in me and believing that I can carry her story. And so it was, and you know what is crazy? We haven't even aired yet and they have already greenlit our second season.
What? Yes. Oh, that's what? So exciting. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. I sobbed. I was actually starting my Christmas shopping when I found out. Oh, super late. And I was on the streets on Robson in Vancouver and I got the email and I had an umbrella. It was lightly raining, I remember. And I just dropped my umbrella down and the rain was sort of hitting my face and I just started crying.
Oh.
I was just like, oh my God, like, are you kidding me? Is this my life? Like, is this real? Like, it was just, yeah. So when you ask me how was my 2019, I'm going to say to you, there's nothing to complain about.
Oh, that's so great. I'm so happy because I think, I mean, and this might sound patronizing, but it's true. I think when I saw you in your, you know, small roles on these, I was like, she's talented. She is a good,
is
a really, she does a really good job. And, and I'm so happy because I just feel like you deserve it. And that.
Thanks. That really means a lot. I'm still pinching myself, honestly, and I really believe in this show. Yeah. I say this because I got to read the script every read through, and I was crying at every read through, and I really attest it to. I cannot give enough credit to our showrunner and a creator of the show, Adam Peddle. He was the captain of our ship. And he put together a team of writers that really wanted to tell grounded, authentic stories. And I really don't feel like anyone phoned it in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we're all so excited. This is not saying that anyone would ever do that, but I just know that we all poured our hearts into it so much at every department. I mean, I even like the extras. Oh my God, our extras would show up in the snow. I'll never forget one day there was a snowstorm and I get picked up and driven to set in Toronto. It's where we film our series. And that day I remember joking, saying, oh my God, thank God I get picked up and driven to set because like, I can't believe like these driving conditions. Uh-huh. And I expected, you know, there was a lot of expected delays and I walk in and it's, we have a lot of regular occurring extras on our show because it's a hospital. And so we get the opportunity to rehire a lot of the same faces. Uh-huh. And I just remember walking in and being like, oh my God, everyone's here. Yeah. And I just was like, thank you guys. You know, and everyone was so positive on that show every day. I can't describe it. There was just this magic on the set that like, top down, extras to PAs, to the crew, to our talented guest stars, are obviously the core five cast and the recurrings and the producers. Global was so behind the show and so excited about it. So, you know, I'm just biting my nails and crossing my fingers that people like it and, you know, they feel connected to it because you put it out there and you're like, all right, let's see. But I really believe in it. And so I think that's why it's been so easy for me to promote because it's so genuine from the heart that I'm like, I really believe in this. And I really think it brings people together and it connects us. And also like my mom's a nurse and the show really does at its heart want to honor the legacy of nurses. And I feel like we all know a nurse, you know, and medical procedures, what makes them so special is we get to not only watch a story about servitude and being a service to others, which is no greater act than a nurse, honestly.
Yeah.
Right. Nurses, firefighters, police officers, they are, and I think that's why they're always so heavy on television, because we get to recognize that servitude. And then on top of that, it's our guest stars. So I think audiences can always connect to that level. And I think that's why medical dramas, the format works, is because you get the connection through the stories of people who are in service to others, but then you also can have any walk of life at any given point in any episode walk in and go, this is my story, this is where I'm at, and you literally don't know what's going to happen to them. And like in any hospital, it can flip on a dime. Mm-hmm. And I think what differentiates nurses is our unique chemistry between our cast. Mm-hmm. There was just this, like everyone kept saying it, and we really hope the audience feels it as well. It's like, there's just a chemistry between us.
Yeah.
We were all so different from one another. We all thought so differently. We all came from, we all genuinely came from such different walks of life and brought such different vibrations to each role. And then I felt like just putting us all together had this kind of electrifying chemistry. So the character driven aspect and the story that Adam Petal and the writers brought to in terms of our backstories and who we are, and then also really fleshing out the guest stars. Mm-hmm. They were not two dimensional characters. And that's one of the major things I said to them on the show is like, wow, every episode I feel like my heart just wrenches for these guest stars. You know, their stories are so human. So I hope people like it.
And you have, of the five nurses, the leads, it's three female, two male. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So there's Tiara Scobie, who plays Grace. There's Natasha Callis, who plays Ashley. There's Jordan Johnson-Hins, who plays Keon. There's me, who plays Nazneen. And there is Donald McLean Jr., who plays Wolf. And we have also a really incredible group of recurring actors that also are on our show on a regular basis that we were very lucky to have a part of our story. So it's just a really combined effort of everyone that I think really made this show special.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because we do see something like nursing as a traditionally female role. And here you're going to have, of course, there's lots of male nurses too. There's nothing.
Lots,
and if you have... Yeah. And if you kind of explore the different roles that we typecast different genders to, I think could be interesting. And and also the relationship between the nurses and the doctors, I think could be an interesting thing to explore.
Oh, you said it. There's so much to explore because, you know, typically on TV, nurses are kind of like the one-liners that come in, you know, and they're not really a story that is like, there have been definitely nurse stories in the past. And there's an article that got released this morning on the Toronto Star that kind of, they have a list at the beginning of all the nurse shows that have previously existed before nurses. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's not common enough there. And there hasn't been one mainstream like ours in a very long time.
Yeah.
So I think it was Nurse Jackie was the last big one.
Different,
but it's different, you know,
it's more subversive.
This is the creators of Rookie Blue and Saving Hope. So that'll really give you an indication of kind of like the tonality and energy of nurses. But of course it's going to be a little different because their projects are always a little different from each other, but we were so, so lucky. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so I just can't excited for you.
Nazneen again, I just can't wait to see what journey they take her on season two. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So when are you guys gonna start like filming season two? Is that all scheduled?
Sure, they gave us some loose dates, but it's not confirmed. Uh-huh. But we just know we're getting back to camera as soon as we can. So it's it's pretty great. And now we've got the premiere in exactly it's less than 1 week now. Next Monday, 8 PM on Global, if you're in Canada, they will be airing our first episode. And then tomorrow, if you're Canadian, on Global's website, there actually is a teaser for the new year offering the first episode for free to watch.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. A little bit early, which is really, really great.
So we're actually airing this on Monday. So, it's fine.
Today, I guess. I just did a time jump.
No, you're fine.
Is this time traveling? Is this how it works?
So make sure that you check it out. So it'll be tonight. Will be the first episode in. And I'm going to try to find a way to watch it here in the States.
Yeah. I know we're getting so many questions about it. And I will be definitely first to share once we kind of get any official news on distribution outside of Canada. Definitely. Yeah.
Great. Well, I'm so happy for you. I just think you really, you deserve it. And I can't wait to see it. And so, well, we like to end our, I don't know if you remember last time, at least I think we did the Team B questions last time.
I kind of remember this. Yes.
So,
I
wonder if I have to change. Have a holiday edition of the Team B questions. And so we haven't done that one with you yet. So we're going to go back. I assume you had a nice holiday season this last.
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. Did you?
Yes, very busy. I covered a lot of movies, but it was fun. It was really fun.
Oh, wow. Good for you. That's a lot of hard work for the holidays, but I'm glad it was a good experience.
Yeah, it was. It was really wonderful. And so here we go. Let's give you the Team B Christmas questions.
Sure.
What is your favorite holiday drink?
Ooh, favorite holiday drink. It's eggnog.
Yeah. All right. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
You know, it's really silly, but I never have apple pie very much, but I have it during the holidays, and it's my favorite with a bit of vanilla ice cream. Oh my God. It's actually something in our household that we just, we always have apple pie and vanilla ice cream in the house during the holidays. And for some reason, it's just not something I think to buy on my day to day. So it ends up kind of becoming a holiday treat for me, weirdly enough. But I mean, it's itself, Lindt chocolates.
Very good. Okay. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Oh my gosh, you're going to make fun of me, but Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You. I mean, it's the most overplayed Christmas song of all time, and it's because people like me listen to it 1,000 times on repeat and drives other family members insane because I ruin the song for them.
No, it's legendary. I mean, it's so many people have picked that song.
I mean, I think for this question, really cemented the classicness of the song, because I mean, when that little girl sings All I Want for Christmas Is You in Love Actually, I mean, it's like such an amazing movie moment. It's so cute. And then he's on the drums and he's like, I want that girl. That little kid is just like, that's the love of my life. And it's that song, you
know? True. So I forgot about that. You're right.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
It was really funny. On November 1st, Mariah Carey tweeted out, she's like, it's official. You can start celebrating. You can listen to the song now. You can start celebrating Christmas now. And I'm like, okay, she's the queen of Christmas. She's earned that right. She can officially start.
Like, she has earned that right. And that is so funny that she even knows that it's overplayed. And she's like, now you can start, my friends. Yeah. That's really, really funny.
It was really funny. Do you have a favorite classic Christmas movie that you like?
Oh, you know, oh my gosh, I'm just forgetting the name right now, but you know the Arnold Schwarzenegger one where he's like,
oh, the Jingle All the Way?
Jingle All the Way. Oh my God. I actually love that movie. It's so silly. And Die Hard. I love Die Hard. The original Die Hard for Christmas is so good for a classic for me. The Holiday, Love Actually, The Grinch. It's such a cute film. I mean, there's so many. There's one we watched as a family this holiday. Oh my gosh. My brain is like spaghetti right now. I've just been, hold on. I'm actually going to Google it. I have a computer in front of me right now. The Christmas Chronicles. How could I forget?
Oh yeah.
It's so cute. It's so cute. I just love it.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell is incredible as Santa. Like, he's just amazing. And Goldie Hawn at the end.
Yeah. Oh my God, you know, they're making a sequel.
I'm so glad that they are.
Yeah.
I'm actually so glad that they are, because that movie was so sweet. I watched it with my nieces and it was really, really adorable.
Well, and Oliver Hudson has a small role and he's their,
kid.
So that's fun. We kind of joke about that movie on our podcast, because when we were covering it, we have one of our co-hosts, her name's Amy. She is a youngster. She's in her early 20s and she didn't know who Kurt Russell was. We were like, So we were like, oh, shocked. How could you not know?
The Christmas Chronicles, and yeah, you can just let her know it's Santa.
She's like, what was that? What was the big deal about that woman coming in at the end or whatever? And I'm like, you don't know who Goldie Hawn is or Kurt Russell. So you're teasing her.
Well, I'm a movie fiend. So I watch a lot.
Yeah, we're like that. You know that obscure hidden actor who's been in a few projects.
You know, just Goldie Hawn. She, you know, she's just some actor, some, you know, like she was a huge movie star, but nobody is. I love Goldie Hawn, actually. I find her energy. I feel, I don't know Goldie Hawn, but I want to know Goldie Hawn.
Right.
I feel like she is such a positive person. Yeah. I just like, if there's someone I could have lunch with, I feel like I would choose Goldie Hawn.
She would, you know, you'd have some laughs. I just feel pretty confident that you'd smile.
I know. She just seems like that person, you know? I know. She seems like so genuinely in love with life.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have a favorite holiday tradition that you try to do every year?
We open up a Christmas song at Christmas Eve at night.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's good. Did you have a memorable Christmas gift? I mean, did you celebrate Christmas growing up
as
a little kid? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I don't know. Everyone is really special to me. I know it's cheesy, but, that's actually a real answer. I'm always someone who's going to appreciate someone giving me a gift, right, no matter what it is. I do remember when I was a kid, my aunt actually gave me a little, Sailor Moon, doll.
Oh, that's right. That I like Sailor
really,
Moon.
Really loved. And, man, I had that thing for forever. Yeah. It was like, so I just like, I was like, what? You got me this? Oh my God, you're the best aunt ever. Like, I would get her a tea anytime she wanted in the house. I was like, Auntie, what do you need? I call her Masi. Actually, I'm saying it wrong. In our culture, we have a designation for every type of relationship.
Uh-huh.
So her name was actually Masi, which means my mom's sister. Aww. So I was like, Masi G, what do you want? What can I get you? Because I was just like, oh my God, you're the best person in the whole world. So I do remember that.
That's really cute. That's perfect. Okay. Who do you prefer, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Oh, I'd say, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I'd say the Grinch.
Yeah. Okay. Clear lights or colored?
good question. Depends on my mood.
Okay. Would you rather be in a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Snowball fight, for sure.
Okay. do you consider yourself a good gift wrapper or not?
I sometimes can be an epic gift wrapper, but if I'm short on time, I can be a horrendous gift wrapper. Yeah. And my family always knows how much time I had because I do really like to wrap gifts.
Yeah.
And I can go all out. And actually, I'm one of those people that will like do the whole like trick thing. Like I'll do like, sometimes I'll like make like hidden things around the house. Like they'll open up a card and be like, go to this area. They'll open up another card. And be like,
oh, cute.
And then here's a gift, but it's really like a 5-cent candy or something like that. And then I'll make them. I just get so entertained at people doing that. Like it's really for me, it's such a laugh.
Yeah.
So I'm, and then if I'm in a rush, it's like just present and wrapping with a bit of tape. And I'm just like, here you go.
Have you seen, there's a little thing going around on Twitter and stuff with this woman. She decided to kind of test her little girl. She's probably like, I don't know, 3 or
banana?
Something.
Banana?
Little, with the banana. Yeah.
Oh my God, I cried. I cried and I sent it to everyone I know.
Yeah, me too.
I cried and I sent it to everyone I know. And I was just like, I'm an a-hole for wanting anything other than this banana.
Yeah. It was like, so cute.
It's such a reminder of the holidays. And actually, that's one thing our family's really migrating towards right now is we're doing Secret Santa now because we don't want the pressure of the holidays for having to get a gift for everyone because we started to kind of get the sense that we are losing the point of the holidays and that pressure of like not wanting to let anyone down and like making sure you get a thoughtful gift for everyone. And then all of a sudden you kind of find that you're running yourself ragged, trying to like just make sure the people that already love you know that they love you.
Right.
And so, you know, now we do a Secret Santa where you can focus on one person, because I love giving gifts and we'll do like little stocking stuffers and stuff like that. But if you focus on one Secret Santa, then you can focus on that one person. And then it actually makes for us, we really have been enjoying that, because it makes you kind of connect more with the family and have more time to like relax and just kind of make the holidays really a holiday. Cause I have a big Indian family, man. Like those gifts can get real. So we start, you know,
yeah.
And like, it really becomes like a 4-month endeavor. If you're like trying to get gifts for everyone, you're like, I should start in August. So, I kind of think misses the point of Christmas, which is, I think, yeah, connection and family and love and spending time with one another, which is really our priority as a family. So, yeah.
That's cool. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
Oh my God. It's so funny you asked that. That was the theme of this year for our family. God. So I actually got a horrendous one. It was I say horrendous because, you know, it's, you know, the ugly Christmas style sweater, but I was an elf. I was an elf sweater. So
like
I was
the movie elf. Or just like an elf?
It was just like a vintage. It was vintage sweater that someone had knit. I actually got it vintage.
Oh, and, that's nice.
Yeah. I don't know how, probably like 20 years old or something. I have no idea. But yeah, it was like someone knit a sweater. So it made you look like an elf. But it was like, you know, all this funny stitching on stuff and stuff like that on it. So I was like, I'm gonna go for this. And our whole family did. I got one sweater for someone who was a lamb, with, you know, it was on Amazon, like a llama. Uh-huh. I got a llama one, which is really funny. Oh my God. We actually, yeah, every year we pick something different. I'm very lucky, you know. There's a lot of love in my family, which I'm very grateful for. And I'm also so very aware that there are so many families out there that don't have that connection, that mm-hmm. don't get that opportunity, that can't afford gifts, that struggle, that, you know, as soon as the holidays come around, they feel that guilt. And sometimes, you know, that hardship of being like, oh, wow, here's that time of year again where I get to feel bad about myself. Right. So, you know, it's something I really always want to make a statement about, which is, you know, I want everyone to know that they are unconditionally loved and supported, and the holidays is just a time to connect with loved ones. But I feel like it's so important to not put that pressure on people to make it that way it is in the movies, because some people simply do not have the financial means, right, or they do not come from a household that has that love and support. So I'm very lucky to know that I do have that, which is why I really cherish it. And I don't take it for granted. And we make it a priority in our family to kind of like, you know, to recognize how lucky we are. But, you know, I just, my hope for everyone through the holidays is that if you don't have family, that you're able to make your own and you can create your own family, and you don't need gifts for Christmas. You don't need a lot. You just need someone to care about, or someone to care about you. And yeah, that's enough. That is honestly enough, because we're all here for such a short period of time on this planet, and we all should just feel good about ourselves. I really want people to love themselves, because we all deserve to be loved. And this, like, things can get highly commercialized, and it's fun, you know, and if you have the ability to do it, then go for it. Like, you know, I love it when people go crazy about Christmas. It's such a blast. Yeah. But I also, you know, recognize and want people to feel like if you don't have a lot, that's okay too, because it's just a passing holiday. Right. And it's just about, it's a holiday to connect, whether it's religious reasons, whether it's family reasons, that you can always make it your own reason over the holidays. And I want people to have joy in their life every day and to live their own authentic life to, you know, the best of their abilities, because that's all we could ever hope for or strive every day. Every day I have to choose to be who I am and get up and put one foot in front of the other. And I really, I guess I didn't even realize I was going to be talking about this, but I just want people to know that they can put one foot in front of the other and know that you're equal to everyone, despite your situation or who you are, where you come from, and no one is better than anyone else. And we're just all kind of just trying to make life to each our own the best we can.
Well, it's such good counsel, because, you know, we know that comparison is the thief of joy. And if we're looking at what other people have, and they can't do anything about that. Like they can't.
Exactly.
And you're always comparing, you know, your worst to their best. And if we can try to be honest about, you know, how we're feeling and kind of manage our mental health, I think that's really, that's something
I believe very strongly in mental health.
Yeah. But also just trying to be in the moment and appreciate the good that you have. Like in many ways, my Christmas was kind of some people might think that it was a little sad because I was by myself on Christmas because my parents were in Virginia with my sister. And so then I saw them. We actually celebrated yesterday on the 30th with them.
Awesome.
Which was great. And you know, I think that it made me, it's not the first time this happened to me. It made me really appreciate the people I did see and the presents that I did have to open that day, you know, 'cause I only had a couple, you know, little things from friends. I don't know. I think that, you know, loneliness is a thing and it's real and you have to deal with it. But also if you can try to be kind of grateful for the good things in your life, it'll really help you if you have an attitude of gratitude. And so, you know, and I have so much to be grateful for, it's an interesting experience. And, anyway, I really appreciate you saying that. And I felt
I really appreciate you sharing that, you know, because I think it's important for people to hear that. I think it's important for people to know that, you know, people don't always get that opportunity, sometimes ever, to have the type of family that you and I have, and you weren't able to connect to yours on the holidays.
Right.
And, you know, it's like what you said, it kind of allowed you perhaps a moment of reflection, if that's what you said, you know, you know, I have, like, as a family, we've definitely had our hardships in terms of our family. And those moments where, you know, everybody has experiences, hardships in their lives. Yeah. I know, I really believe no one's immune to that. And I think that's why we're all here. You know, we all have something we have to overcome, but if we can kind of remind each other that we all go through that journey, then maybe someone else goes, man, you know, like I can get through this. Maybe this, I don't feel good about myself right now. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling sad. I'm worried that no one will ever care about me or whatever it might be. And to let them know, like, you know, everybody kind of goes through hardships and has fears and struggles and doubts about themselves and what the direction of where their life is going. And the thing is like suicide and over the holidays can be, I don't want to take it that term. I do want to talk about it. I do want to actually talk about it. Like suicide kind of rates go up over the holidays. And I think it's because people don't believe that they can connect with people. And I always want to say, oh my gosh, you can, and you're amazing. Yeah. And you have like so much power within yourself, you know, to like, I think the world would be like, like Greta Thunberg, I never say her last name right. Mm-hmm. She is an activist that, around climate change. Mm-hmm. And everyone now has an opinion of her, whether it's positive or negative. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of really sad to see these polarizing things being said to such a sweet little girl. But that being said, whatever people's viewpoints are on her politically, she's just a person in a classroom, a teenager in a high school, with no other conviction other than herself, who now has become a world figure. Mm-hmm. The power of a voice, the power of self-belief, anyone can be a Greta. Mm-hmm. And this is what people don't realize. If you love yourself, if you have courage, I have witnessed in my own life, I've witnessed transformations in other people who didn't realize how amazing they were. And as soon as they were like, oh my God, I am lovable, I am interesting. And it was society or these bullies before that told me otherwise, that I actually, and I believed that narrative, you know? And yeah, and like someone like Greta, it's just one person, and everyone can be a Greta. Everyone can be a person. And I mean, some people might be like, not a comparison. I want to, like, a lot of people are very polarized around her, which is kind of unreal to me, but she's, I'm blown away by her. Yeah. I'm so actually blown away by Greta, because it's conviction that created a world platform. And she literally just had one voice, and then she started a movement. It's just incredible to me, you know?
It kind of makes me think of in our church services on Christmas, Christmas church services. It was very interesting. They had a man who has just been going through rehab, or is just finished, or something like that. He was somebody I didn't know, someone new to me. Anyway, he spoke, and I thought it was a really kind of a bold choice, you know, for them to pick somebody like that. But I could totally see why once he did, because it was so moving. It was really getting back to
I would love to have heard his speech.
Yeah, it was so good. And just about the power of change and the power, for him, the power of Christ in his life. And it was so good. And it really helped me kind of remember about what this is all about and why, you know, cause I've just been so immersed in Christmas. Yeah. It was so good. It was so good. And then, somebody sang A Holy Night, who actually can sing it and has the pipes to sing it. And, cause I think that song,
it's a beautiful song.
The song sung badly a lot, but, but this was, she was so good, and I was just so fed, and so, yeah, I think that's really, really important. And if we can just remember that, our contribution, even if it's just
within our community, even if it's just you and, you know, the people you see every day, that's enough.
Even if it's just people on social media, honestly, that can be
a homemaker. You could be a mom, because then your contribution is to your children, and what a legacy to leave behind.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, your reach can be as small as you want it to be, because it's not small. It's quite powerful because of that butterfly effect of positive change, you know? And for me, you know, people ask me, you know, where do you see yourself going in your career? I'm like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm just trying to be as positive as I can be.
Yeah.
Genuinely. And trying to also, I am also, that's kind of why I brought up the holidays, because I also want people to know that my life has been very exciting this year, but I also want them to know there was a lot of hardship that came with it, you know, and I had to go through like years of rejection. And I want people to know that their dreams are possible, that they can go after whatever they want, because I didn't know a single person when I entered the film industry. Mm-hmm. I built my own contacts, you know, acting's just what I love. If I loved, say, I don't know, flowers, then we would never be having this talk, because I'd be owning a flower shop. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's an equally successful life. It's just find what kind of ignites you and do that. And for me, it happens to be acting, which is a really interesting platform to be an artist, because then you get to talk to really interesting people and work with all the, and collaborate on different projects. And it's a very interesting way of living a life, but it's just one way of living a life. And I really believe we're all equal, you know? And so, I would have quit acting a long time ago if I didn't love it this much.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You know, every time I speak with you, I mean, it's the second time, but I like, you have this, you really listen, and I can tell you have such a big heart, and you really care about community and bringing people together. And I honestly want to say thank you. I've always like, I really enjoy speaking with you. Oh. I'm so dramatic. I'm like, always.
Oh, thank
this
you.
Is our second time.
Hey, hopefully be the so second one. Well, I wanted to leave. I figured this become a new tradition with us is I'm going to leave you with a movie recommendation.
Oh, yes.
Watch. I did last time.
Sure.
So what I want to recommend is a movie called, it's a movie called Funan. It's a little indie animated film. It's really good. It's available to rent now, so you can you know, wherever you.
How do I spell it?
YouTube. It's FUNAN, and it's a film about. It's an animated film. It's about this family in a 1975 Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge, and they were kind of separated from their son. It is an emotional movie. These work camps that they were forced into, and it is devastating at times, but it's also very hopeful, very beautiful. The animation's incredible. It's a wonderful movie, and so that's my assignment to you.
I'll give it a watch. Yes. I love it.
Okay, good. All right. Well, it needs to not be a year and a half before we hear back from you again. I'm going to find a way to watch Nurses, and let's hear back
once I know.
Yeah, let's hear back from you at the end of the season, and I would love that. And you're just a delight, and I'm so happy for you. You deserve it. And so if people want to follow you on social media, all that, how can they do so?
I'm pretty much really, I'm so bad with social media, but I'm getting better. New Instagram, it's Sandy Sid, SandySid. And I do have a Twitter account, which I always have to double check. It's Sandy_Sidhu, SIDHU. And that's it. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we'll have all that in the description section so people can follow you. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And make sure you guys are following the podcast all over the place. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that too. We also have our Patreon group, which allows us to do these fun interviews. And then our merch store. So check all that below. And Sandy, anytime you want to come on a podcast, just let me know. And you can come on our podcast because
you guys rock.
You're the best. So Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. I hope you have an amazing start to 2020 tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow. Wow.
Yay.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me. Well, have a great day.
Okay. Bye.